Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:35 and today is June 3rd. Well, Europe really stole the performance in here today, not least in the bond markets. This has really been a massive move in terms of what's happening in global bond markets right across the boards. It's being led higher by the German Bund. Let's start to put some of what's happening in Europe into context. There are three main arbiters of performance. One would be the euro, the second it would be the performance of the bond market, and then the equity markets. Well, the bond markets are pulling back in that the yield has risen pretty substantially. Just to put that in a technical context, that we had a deep oversold condition. The oversold condition was unwound relative to the trend mean or the 200-day moving average. You had a consolidation in the region of the MA, and now we're seeing that breakout. That's a resumption of supply dominance. It's supply dominance beyond the short term. This is now saying that we've got supply dominance perhaps into the medium term, and that the long-term progression of lower rally highs is likely to be tested. And that same prognosis is applicable to the US Treasuries, to the Australian 10-year, to gilts. What it also suggests is that the market is pricing in a benign outcome to the Greek conundrum, with Angela Merkel stepping in and taking the reins in terms of negotiation, that this is now a prime ministerial debate rather than between finance ministers or between third parties, that now there's the real decision makers are at the table. The market is beginning to price in that there is going to be a benign outcome. That has been perhaps the most likely scenario all along, not least because Greece is also a NATO member in addition to being a member of the Eurozone. What we're seeing, though, is that the risk aversion that has been really part of the reason that people have been into the bond market so aggressively is now being unwound. This is also resulting in some of the euros oversold, or, well, the euro, having pulled back from the region of 112, is now back up to the region of 112. So you're getting the euro rallying and some dollar weakness. But that euro strength is acting as a little bit of a headwind for the stock market. So the stock market has been pretty inert. When you look at the stock markets, that we had this just remarkable rally in the beginning of the year, and this is still being unwound, that it's still a reasonably orderly consolidation and reversion towards the mean, so that the majority of the European stock markets in here today were in positive territory, but not in any kind of dynamic way. The DAX, for example, was stronger by 0.8%, the CAC by about 0.6%, but the Spanish index was pretty much unchanged. The FTSE was up about 0.33%, and the Stoxx 50 was up about 0.67%. Well, considering that we've had days that have been up about the same amount and down about the same amount over the last week or two, this is certainly not a dynamic move. But where we do have the dynamics then is definitely in the bond markets. This really is a substantial breakout. What it also suggests is that when we look at the European yield curve spread, that Draghi in here today was saying that part of the reason that the Bund yields, that's the German 10-year, had gone up so much is because the 2-year was back into a range that would allow the ECB to start buying, that they would trail their purchases on the long end and front load their purchases on the short end of the curve. And of course, that is now contributing to a steepening of the yield curve. A steepening of the yield curve is really generally beneficial for the banking sector. And, well, I've posted the chart of the banking sector in here today, that it's had a very tight consolidation in the region of the 2014 peak and above the 200-day moving average. And that, well, this is the kind of pattern where you would generally see a breakout happening. And, well, certainly with the yield curve starting to steepen, that's really very good news for the banking sector generally in the Eurozone. When we look at Asia, well, the the dollar might have been weak against the euro, but only moderately so against the yen. What we've seen over the last couple of weeks is that the yen has broken down once more against the dollar to resume its medium-term downtrend. That has put pressure on its neighbors previously to devalue their currency, and if the yen's breakdown is sustained, then it will put additional pressure on its competitors within Asia to devalue their currencies. That's perhaps relevant when we start to look at some of the stock market indices within Asia. Well, obviously, India has had this loss of momentum following its big breakout, and it's coming back towards the 8,000 level, and ideally that's where it should find support. When we look at Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, then we have this loss of momentum and a rounding characteristic, particularly in Thailand and Malaysia, and that Indonesia is potentially breaking down at present. The Singapore market has pulled back to the region of the 200-day moving average. Well, when we cast our net a little bit wider and start to look at Australia, then the Aussie dollar was a bit firmer yesterday. It was reasonably steady in here today. It's bouncing from the region of the 75 cent level, but well, this could still only be short-term steadying within the context of a medium-term downtrend for the currency, and that really a sustained move above 82 cents and the trend mean would be required to suggest that it is anything more than short-term steadying. The prospect of interest rates rising in Australia are slim to none, really. But the bond market is responding not only to domestic forces. GDP figures were a bit firmer in here today. The market didn't like that because the market really wants to see lower interest rates. But with firmer economic figures, there's no real need to have this, you know, very, very low bond yield. And you have incredible commonality in terms of the bond yield with treasuries and bunds. So we can look at the commonality and say that an international bond investor would be looking at all of these bonds and saying that where's the relative value? And because you have this commonality, then if we think that bond yields are going higher in Europe and in the US, then the chances are they're going higher in Australia as well. That's potentially problematic from a stock market investor's perspective, because when we look at talking to Australian subscribers and delegates at the chart seminar, people have been loading up on high-yielding equities. They've been buying equities primarily for the yield, not least because you get full franking, particularly on the banks. And the banks have represented not just some of the largest companies in the country, not just a substantial weighting within the overall index, but also that they've been some of the best performers, so that you have been rewarded with capital appreciation and yield and full franking for much of the last 3 or 4 years. But if you're buying bonds, if you're buying, sorry, equities for their yield, well, then you have to price them as if they were bonds, and that's on a relative value basis. Then if yields are rising, the relative attraction of owning those equities from a yield perspective only is going to diminish. When we start to look at the performance of the banking sector relative to the wider market, well, then it did accelerate higher. It has pulled back sharply. It's now in the region of the 200-day moving average, and this is where it needs to find support. The banking sector has been just remarkably rewarding for investors over the last 3 or 4 years. It has surprised on the upside on a number of occasions, but now this is where it needs to find support, that within the next 100 points, this is where one would anticipate that it should find support. Now, when you start to look then at the wider market in the ASX 200, that it's pulled back from, well, it encountered resistance in the region of 6,000 on a number of occasions, and now has pulled back fairly sharply to the region of the progression of higher reaction lows and what has been a generally choppy uptrend for much of the last 3 years. Because it's been a choppy uptrend, we don't have the same consistency characteristics for that we would have with other trends. And that means that the 200-day moving average has not exactly been the best area of support, that it's traded below the MA on a number of occasions over the last 3 or 4 years. you might have to give it a little bit of additional room, but that this is around the region where one would anticipate that it finds support. What we, from the bullish perspective, what people don't want to see is that it pulls back further and then starts to encounter resistance in the region of the MA. Well, then that would start to indicate that supply dominance is really a factor beyond the short-term pullback here. So we're in a rather delicate environment for a number of the indices, the main indices within Asia. What is interesting is that China has been so incredibly inert in terms of the renminbi that over the last, I don't think it's a coincidence that the renminbi has gone nowhere for just about the same amount of time as it's taken for the yen to break down from its range. They are very intent on attempting to keep the renminbi relatively stable. They're not going to allow the renminbi to appreciate from here, and the stock market doesn't really need it. The stock market was additionally firm in here today, and people are starting to price in the possibility that MSCI will come through with a positive outcome to their decision to add the A shares to the emerging markets and potentially the world index. Well, that would put pressure on foreign investors to buy, and would justify buying on momentum at the current price. It's, I would say, a 50-50 outcome. And I don't think the odds are better than that. Even if they do decide that they're going to add the A shares, it's going to be on a phased basis. It's not going to be all at once. So it could be a medium-term tailwind for the market generally. When we look at this bull market in China, it's not just predicated, of course, on the MSCI reweighting, although that is the most pressing piece of news that we're going to find out or not on the 9th. But we're seeing lower interest rates and a generally benign environment in terms of government policy. We've had a series of ranges, one above another, on the A-share index, which is outperforming both the H-shares and the FTSE Xinhua A50. And the low that we had on Friday is the most recent higher reaction low within the context of this very impressive short-term uptrend. When we look at Wall Street, then the bond market is starting to push higher. Well, many people would say that just about everything is priced off the 10-year. And the equity markets were up marginally in here today, but not by a great amount. This remains a rather inert range on Wall Street. Well, Mike, I guess you can think about this in terms of either the bullish or the bearish case. The bearish case is that this range is a loss of momentum, and that this range has had a number of failed upside breaks and is now developing this wedgy characteristic. Well, you could say that that is potentially a type 2 top formation development characteristic, and that confirmation would be a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. It could just as likely be a somewhat lengthier consolidation prior to moving higher from here. But this has been a liquidity-fueled rally, and the prospect of additional monetary easing is probably what the market is waiting for in terms of a bullish catalyst, that we've had a pickup in M&A activity and that hasn't done it just yet. We would continue to give the benefit of the doubt provided the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact. But this is still, in any kind of range, that a range is where supply and demand come back into balance. And what we need is for the medium-term demand story to be reasserted, and well, that has certainly been linked to the liquidity situation over the last number of months. In the commodities sector in here today, oil prices were down by over a dollar. This remains an increasingly volatile environment, and we continue to see that this volatility is occurring as this mean reversion remains, and mean reversion range, or range in the region of the moving average, remains intact. But the progression of higher reaction lows since the March low, well, actually the January low, would need to be taken out to really indicate that the supply side is returning to dominance here. And, well, we'll have another iteration of the Baker Hughes rig count. I think it's in here today, and there'll be another one on Friday. When that starts to turn upwards, well, then we'll have an indication that unconventional oil and gas drilling has started once more. We're not really there yet. Gold prices were also a little bit weaker in here today. That gold is also in need of a catalyst, either in terms of a benign environment or in terms of a bearish environment for just about everything else. But as this muddle through goes on, then there isn't a compelling reason that one would need to get in there and start buying gold aggressively. So it was down $9.30 today, and it's back to $1,185. The platinum price was also down $9 in here today and back towards 1104, so it just completely unwound yesterday's advance. This remains a risky environment in terms of precious metals. I've seen incredibly bullish forecasts coming through in the last couple of days, and I don't really see a great deal of evidence to support them in terms of the price action, that we won't really have confirmation until the progression of lower rally highs has been broken. And in the event that that happens, well, then there's plenty of upside. But that I don't see that there's a compelling reason to be early in here when we remain within this medium-term supply-dominated environment. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today. I wish all the best to all of you.